Joining me now on the phone is Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from Schaumburg, and the congressman is a member of the House Oversight Committee. Congressman, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
So I found it very interesting, this letter you wrote to Steve Bannon.
Yeah. It was quite a week, as you know. Steve Bannon told Mr. Wolf, the author of this recent book that came out on Friday, basically that he thought that the meeting between members of the Trump Organization and Russian-connected emissaries in the summer of 2016 at the Trump Tower was treasonous. As you know, that's a really serious charge, Rick. And when we heard that, you know, basically we wrote a letter to him asking him further questions about that issue and asking him if he'd be willing to meet with members of the Oversight Committee to talk about it further. We sent it on Friday. We haven't heard back yet, but I hope for a positive answer from him.
Do you think he will?
I don't know. You know, there's so much drama going on right now between Mr. Bannon and the president. And
Sloppy Steve,
really,
I think it's Sloppy Steve, according to the president.
Sloppy Steve, I don't really know whether he would be willing to come and talk to members of Congress about this issue. But my guess is that Special Counsel Mueller will certainly want to talk to him and others as well. And hopefully he can shed a little more light on what's going on and what he knew about, you know, Russian interference in our elections.
Well, and specifically in Wolf's book, he quotes Bannon as saying the three senior guys in the campaign thought it was a good idea to meet with a foreign government inside Trump Tower in the conference room on the 25th floor with no lawyers. Even if you thought that this was not treasonous or unpatriotic or bad stuff, and I happen to think it's all of that, you should have called the FBI immediately. And that's a quote from Steve Bannon there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is like, I think this is politics and government 101. Whenever a foreign government wants to meet with you, or emissaries from a foreign government wants to meet with you, certainly on a presidential campaign, and if we think it's for illicit reasons, you should alert law enforcement, and that's what they should have done.
Where do you see this Mueller investigation going? I mean, we have the president repeatedly saying, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. Yet, you know, every day we see different stories raising further questions about Russian involvement. We know from the intelligence community that the Russians were involved in our election process.
Yes. To his credit, Special Counsel Mueller has been somewhat tight-lipped about this. He's tried to avoid basically signaling where this is going, and I think it's in an attempt to, you know, really get to the bottom of what's going on with this Russian interference in our democracy issue, and whether there are any criminal acts that were committed. What I do know, which you probably already heard about, is that unfortunately Republicans in Congress have now launched an investigation, in part through my committee, the Oversight Committee, the committee I sit on, to basically question the integrity of the FBI. And so literally before Christmas, I spent about 4 hours in closed-door interviews of the deputy director of the FBI, questioning the FBI's handling of the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails, of all things. And this appears to be an attempt to undermine the FBI, the credibility of Jim Comey, and ultimately Special Counsel Mueller. And so this rear guard action is very, very worrisome.
Well, and you know, we learn that the Justice Department says that it is reopening its look at the Hillary Clinton emails.
Right. Basically, Jeff Sessions has now started going down this route, although I think during his testimony about a month ago, he I think rightfully so, set a high bar, saying that, you know, we need more than just speculation to restart an investigation into the Hillary Clinton email matter, to begin that. And, you know, I hope that he sticks to that standard. What I do know is that we are wasting a lot of time on this particular issue now in Congress. It seems like, you know, Hillary Clinton's emails, seem to be at the center of their attempt to rally their base and undermine the FBI, and that's just wrong when we have such a bigger issue of Russian interference in our democracy to deal with.
But again, we have the president who says, well, this whole Russia thing's a hoax and it's fake news.
I can assure you this is not a hoax. And you know, the consensus opinion of the intelligence community, and this is, these are folks who are across numerous agencies in the federal government, is that the Russians did interfere in our elections in 2016, that they likely are trying to do so in 2018 and in future elections, not only in the United States, but in other countries. And so we have to figure out the extent of that, how do we protect against it, and whether folks here, you know, basically met with them, came to an agreement on anything with regard to collusion and so forth.
Obviously, the president is still very fixated on Hillary Clinton. And I mean, as a Democrat in the minority party in the House, in Congress, when you kind of see what's going on with the White House, with frankly new turmoil every day, how can Republicans function in that kind of atmosphere? Because they also seem to be divided amongst themselves.
Well, I do think that some people are scratching their heads when they hear the president call himself a stable genius and so forth, and in his tweets. There's some very serious business that we have to attend to in January. Your listeners probably already know this, but the government is going to run out of money by January 19th. Our Dreamers, 800,000 or so, still don't have any kind of a solution to their plight. We don't have long-term funding of children's health insurance. And, you know, we don't even have a year-long budget for defense or discretionary spending. So these are very serious issues. I think there are Republicans who are trying to deal with this in a good faith way. And I think these other distractions don't help matters.
I want to talk to you more about the issue of DACA, because we have
we have
that issue being tied, quite frankly, to federal government funding as well. But we're going to do that right after we take a quick break. We're speaking with Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat from Schaumburg. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me on the phone, Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from Schaumburg. Congressman, with meetings the past couple of days between the president and Republican leaders, we still have unresolved the issue of the DACA, the Dreamers, their efforts to try to see if that can't be part of a funding agreement for the government. Trump administration making it clear that border security has to be a significant element of any DACA resolution, including funding for the wall.
Yeah, I think that this wall issue is a non-starter for a lot of folks. In fact, you know, when I talk to Republicans in border states with Mexico, I'm talking about members of Congress or senators, they are almost uniformly opposed to any kind of a wall. I think that enhanced border security may be something that we can negotiate on, and certainly we always want to control our borders. But a wall is not the way to go. It sends a horrible message to the rest of the world, and not to mention it doesn't deal with the issue of how do people who are undocumented remain in this country. They usually overstay their visas. They don't come through the border in an undocumented fashion. So this is not the way to go.
does the president's comments, does that undermine what had been bipartisan talks on trying to deal with DACA?
I think so. You know, back in, I think it was the early fall, when he spoke with the leaders of Congress about this Dreamer issue, I think that most folks thought he agreed that there should be kind of a clean Dreamer resolution, so to speak, or at least one that might involve some enhanced border security measures, but not a wall. And so now bringing this up, unfortunately, in my opinion, poisons the talks. And I'm hoping that he, you know, steps back from this particular position.
So when we get to the issue of government funding in January 19, is DACA going to be part of it, or do Democrats say no DACA, no votes?
Well, you know, as you know, the Republicans control all branches of government at this point. They have the votes to pass funding, do the right thing by Dreamers and children's health insurance. I think that, as you know, the Dreamers' status is in jeopardy at this point. In March, they'll be subject to deportation, 800,000-plus people who have known no other country is home, Rick. You know this. And so this is an issue that, in fact, many Republicans are concerned about, not to mention Democrats. I'm really hopeful that we can deal with this in a productive way.
I understand that this coming week you plan on introducing legislation called Investing in America American Workers Act, which involves a tax credit for companies that spend money to train their workers. Explain what this bill is and why it's needed.
So this is an issue that I care deeply about. Basically workforce training. Last summer, Republicans and Democrats working together passed a bill that I'm the lead Democrat on, which basically modernizes Perkins Career Technical Education. It basically is a bill that moves authority for spending federal dollars from Washington, D.C. to local states and municipalities. And it also makes sure that workers get training on skills that employers are validating at the time that the dollars are spent. This passed unanimously through the House in a significant bipartisan fashion, and now it's awaiting a vote in the Senate. We're following that up with this particular bill, which basically rewards companies who invest in their workers by providing a 20% tax credit on additional monies that they spent above what they have spent in the past. And so, again, I believe this is going to be a bipartisan measure. It continues our attempt to match workers who are, you know, on the bench, so to speak, basically people who are graduating from high school, not necessarily going to college, four-year college, but who deserve their path to the middle class, with those jobs that are currently unfilled in the economy. There are about 6 million of them, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make our workers eligible to take those jobs, enhance their productivity, and ultimately gain a stronger foothold in the middle class.
You know, every campaign, it seems like a presidential campaign, there are more efforts to try to promote community colleges in kind of that skill-based training, and you know, lots of talk about pairing up community colleges with private employers, but I don't see a big impetus for that.
You know, it's happening, Rick. It's happening in different ways in different communities. However, you're right about one thing, which is that it could be a lot bigger, and it could be more widespread if only the federal government, which is the primary source of this funding for career technical education, laid out its plan and its vision for long-term funding in this particular area. And that is why I strenuously believe that the Senate should take up our bipartisan bill and pass it. I think the president will sign it. The White House has already signaled this. This bill is called the Thompson Krishnamoorthy bill, the longest titled bill in Congress. And, you know, we're hoping that it gets its vote. And if it does, there's billions of dollars sitting on the sidelines that private companies will invest in workforce training if only they can get further clarity on the government's plans in this area.
But, I mean, so, but what has taken so long, I guess, in this?
You know, there's a belief in this country ever since World War II that four-year colleges were really the sole path, or probably the primary path, for workers or students to find their way into the middle class. And what we've seen after spending trillions and trillions of dollars on basically helping students to try to, American students to go to four-year colleges, that we still have only one-third of Americans who attended a four-year college. Two-thirds of Americans do not. And so the question is, are we going to find a path for them into a you know, family-sustaining career and the middle class, or are we not? I think we have to. And the way to do that is to equip them with the skills to get access to the greatest social welfare program ever devised by human beings, a J-O-B, a job. We got to get them into a job. We got to equip them with the skills, the certification, and the tools to be able to take those jobs that remain unfilled in our economy.
That's Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat from Schaumburg. Congressman, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick.